You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hana Baba. From the 1930s to the 1960s, the Technical Porcelain and Chinaware Company, or TEPCO, produced dishes for restaurants all over the Bay Area. While the El Cerrito-based factory closed back in 1968, its durable dishware lives on as an iconic East Bay collectible with an unexpected and impassioned cult following. Ariel Plotnick has the story.
Have you ever fallen in love with an object? My mom once fell in love with billiard balls. You know, the balls you use for playing pool.
We don't really go to flea markets that much anymore. I can talk to you about something that I bought that I had to have. So we were there once, and I always loved pool balls, just playing pool, like the solid ones and the striped ones. And we came across a box of celluloid pool balls, not new ones. And they were, celluloid is a kind of plastic that kind of glows. And I just loved them. I thought they were so beautiful. I just feel like I fell in love with something because of the shape and the color and the way it glowed. And it was mine for a little while.
And then, the graphic design on the outside of the box was very beautiful.
Yeah, but it was what was inside.
Growing up, I learned to appreciate objects for their history and their beauty, not just their function. Which is why I was really excited when I met Sandy. I'm sitting outside at a cafe talking with Sandy, and she's telling me about the moment she found what she'd been looking for years.
Well, we went to visit Lynn's relatives in Chattanooga. And we always go antiquing wherever we go. And we went to this antique store, and way down low in a cabinet where you could hardly see were two doggy diner mugs. So we bought them, and we were so excited. And we got back to the cousin's house, and they said, oh, yeah, how'd you do? And we were quivering. We were so excited. And we said, oh, we found the most wonderful thing. And they, oh, yeah, yeah. So we unwrapped them, and we showed them, and they all said, oh, that's nice.
I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking mugs? So what? But these aren't just any mugs. They're mugs made by this company called TEPCO. TEPCO stands for the Technical Porcelain and Chinaware Company. This company made dishes from 1930 to 1968. The factory was on the border of two towns in San Francisco's East Bay, El Cerrito and Richmond. At one time, these dishes were everywhere. You could find them at the local donut shop or country club. Even the U.S. Army and Navy used TEPCO dishes on their ships and in their mess halls. Now, I need you to imagine these dishes with me. Imagine you're in a diner. The waitress comes over and drops off a plate of pancakes and a mug of coffee. The plate is really heavy. It's ceramic and dense, maybe beige or light blue, a little glossy. The mug is thick. You could drop it and it wouldn't break. This is what the typical TEPCO dish looks and feels like. They're pretty ordinary, but today these dishes are really meaningful to a lot of people. This is a story about the passionate community of TEPCO collectors in San Francisco's East Bay. It's a story about why they love plates and the comforting permanency of objects in an impermanent world. I saw my first piece of TEPCO at a flea market in the East Bay.
Oh, there's usually TEPCO here.
Wow. It's gorgeous. And I fell in love. I love the thickness, the glossy sheen. They're beautiful in their total ordinariness. Sandy and Lynn think they're really beautiful too.
Am I the main dish? My name is Sandy Ginzer-Mack, and when we created the TEPCO Collectors Club, I was the main dish.
I'm Lynn Mack. Sandy is my wife, and as part of the TEPCO Club, I was the side dish.
Sandy and Lynn, the main dish and the side dish. They're in their 60s, and they are TEPCO royalty. For years, Sandy and Lynn organized the TEPCO fan club. Every 2 months, the club would get together to show off their own personal TEPCO collections. They even sent out a newsletter called the TEPCO Tribune to their 60 club members. Dues to join the TEPCO club were $5 a year. Sandy and Lynn have thousands of pieces of TEPCO.
We were born collecting, each of us, and we came together and each brought that gene, whatever it is. It's a real problem because it means you have lots of stuff. I don't know. People say, what are you going to do with it? I'm going to have it. What do you mean, what am I going to do with it?
They have so much TEPCO that they had to buy an outdoor shed to store all of the dishes in. Their house was just getting too full. Full with boxes and bags of TEPCO covering the floor. I only know this because they described it to me. They wouldn't let me in their house.
Oh, it's not that we don't like people to come over to our house. There's just no place to put them. There are boxes, there are bags, there are stacks. And so in order to get into a room, we'd have to move stuff out.
Which is why we're talking outside of a cafe. Part of the appeal was that TEPCO was so easy to collect.
We could find it anywhere. You could find it at rummage sales on the corner for nothing. And then they started getting popular. And we started seeing less and less.
I think we caused it.
Like you two.
Well, we and our friends, our club. People said, oh, there's a club. There are collectors. There's a newsletter. Oh, it must be valuable.
On the table in front of us is a binder so full, the three metal rings are breaking. It's full of images from original TEPCO catalogs, with pictures of every plate ever made in every design. Other than the classic solid colors, TEPCO dishes often come in wild patterns, with equally wild names.
Hawaiian, Madeira, Oregonian rose, Oriental poppy.
Illustrations of bamboo, leaves, wagon wheels, flowers, and pagodas decorate the plates. And they're beautiful in a kind of ugly way.
I don't know, it's got dings and scratches and knots and the quality is very bad and we love it.
The more time I spent with Sandy and Lynn, the more I realized that their TEPCO collection is an ode to their past. They grew up in the working class town where TEPCO was made. And these dishes weren't fancy. They were made for everyday use. To hold a TEPCO plate now is to hold an artifact of the old, blue-collar, small-town East Bay that's changing. A few weeks after our first meeting, I emailed Sandy, the main dish, to ask if she wanted to go to an antiques fair with me. We could search for TEPCO together. She'd always been quick to get back to me, especially when talking about TEPCO. But I kept checking my email and nothing. Finally, I got an email newsletter from the mayor. Sandy, a board member of almost every committee in town, died from unexpected heart complications. I was shocked. Just weeks earlier, she had been so alive, laughing and talking a little too loud into my microphone. Her memorial was a few weeks later at a country club, and everyone came out. It was a celebration. Some of her friends wanted to dress like her, so they wore matching sparkly sequin tops. Everyone was talking about Sandy's TEPCO collection, like Steve, her coworker.
So I never got to see her famous TEPCO collection. In fact, I told her a joke that I was going to pack myself into a box and have it delivered on her stuff, and she would have to open it, and I'd have to see her TEPCO collection.
And Gina, her niece.
I was around when she started this crazy collection. And I was actually drugged around the country in search of this TEPCO. Literally, they would drag me through antique shows, and they would get so excited to pick up these hideous, heavy plates. And I didn't get it. I still don't get it. But I know that was a passion of hers. We're going to go to TEPCO Beach. You know, we're celebrating Sandy's life today, and that was a big part of it.
I went to TEPCO Beach a few weeks after the memorial. It's a stretch of shoreline in the East Bay where the TEPCO factory used to dump their broken plates. Walking on TEPCO Beach means crunching on thousands of shattered TEPCO plates, bowls, and saucers, main dishes and side dishes. TEPCO shards are piled in a thick layer on top of the sand, mixed with dried seaweed and beach brush. Most of the shards are white, but if you crouch down, you can find special treasures, patterned pieces, and handles broken off from teacups. TEPCO dishes were handmade, and sometimes, if you're lucky, you can see a fingerprint preserved in the glaze, a fingerprint of a factory worker. There's only one TEPCO factory worker still alive. His name is Frank Storno, and he lives at a veterans home. I left a few messages for Frank, telling him I'd love to talk about TEPCO sometime. I wanted to talk to him about why people still love TEPCO dishes so much here in the Bay Area. But people all over the world love dishware too. What is it about dishware that's so endearing, so special? David Rago is a ceramics expert. He tours around the country with Antiques Roadshow, the Antiques Appraisal TV show. He's been selling ceramics since he was 16. His career began when he saw one very special tea set.
I still see it in my head, and it was, wow. It was the mystery that I needed to understand the depths of. Why is it designed that way? Well, there's a reason for it. If we look at these things and really understand them, we understand that universal energies coalesced in one place at one time and crystallized into this rooster plate you brought.
Yeah, I went to David's auction house in New Jersey and brought my favorite TEPCO plate.
I'm just curious, like, why people seem to respond so passionately to this style, this, like, dinerware, 50s, I don't know.
Okay, so you brought it. You answer that. I mean, that's that really. Why are you out of all the things you could have brought for this interview, you brought this plate. How come?
I think it seems so naive to me, this plate. Like, it's so of a time that I think this would never, like, this would never be made now. And the quality of it, like, I hold it and it feels like this was made with some sort of intention.
I think you're describing your past connection with it for one thing, but also naive is an interesting word to use for the 50s, for the 1950s. I mean, we just emerged from the biggest war in world history. How do you remain naive after that? And I think that but you're right in a way, in that I think to some extent we went back to a simpler time just to withdraw from the horror of World War II. And so if you look at some of the things that were made in the 50s, there is a naivete to them.
These dishes romanticized a thriving post-World War II America. In fact, dishware became emblematic of America's booming manufacturing industry. Before the World Wars, Americans got a lot of their dishes from Europe. Afterwards, though, no one wanted to import anything. So the U.S. started producing their own dishware. There were a lot of companies around the country like TEPCO. They weren't making fine china, but everyday kitchen cabinet plates can also become heirlooms and tell our history. Again, Lynn.
And these things that we collect and that we try to preserve represent just everyday life, and I think that's very important.
A few weeks later, I finally heard back from Frank Storno, the last living TEPCO factory worker. He said he was happy to talk and invited me up to the veterans home. I packed my recorder, my notebook, and was ready to go. But the night before the interview, I got a call. Even though that morning he was lucid and telling lots of stories, Frank Storno had died. He was 101 years old. With Frank and Sandy gone, Lynn's TEPCO collection really is kind of this last memorial to the factory, to the dishes people like Frank had handmade. 3 months after Sandy's death, Lynn's considered what the legacy of his collection might be.
What are we going to do with all this stuff? We have no idea. I have no idea. But I'm not there yet. I know that these things are important to me. They're probably not going to be important to somebody else.
But they're important to me. I've started collecting TEPCO now, too.
So here's my meager collection.
I have 5 plates, 1 saucer, and 1 teacup. I've had lots of opportunities to buy TEPCO plates in the past few months. They're pretty easy to find at flea markets in California. But I think it's more fun to see TEPCO dishes in use in the wild. Most restaurants don't use them anymore. But every so often, I'll sit down to eat, usually at a diner, and think I see a TEPCO plate. I now flip dishes over to see if they have a TEPCO stamp on the back. They rarely do. But I'll keep flipping dishes over probably for the rest of my life. Because one day, it might be a TEPCO plate. And that'll be really nice.